It was hard to stay awake all night, Edgar found, even on the most important night of your life. He had spread his cloak over the reeds on the floor, and now he lay on it, dressed in the knee-length, brown-wooled tunic that was all he wore in summer, day and night. In winter he would wrap the cloak around him and lie near the fire. But now the weather was warm. Midsummer Day was a week away. Edgar always knew dates. Most people had to ask priests who kept calendars. Edgar's elder brother Ermin had once said to him, "How come you know when Easter is?" And he had replied, "Because it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the 21st day of March, obviously." It had been a mistake to add obviously, because Ermin had punched him in the stomach for being sarcastic. That had been years ago, when Edgar was small. He was grown now. He would be 18, 3 days after midsummer. His brothers no longer punched him. He shook his head. Random thoughts sent him drifting off. He tried to make himself uncomfortable, lying on his fist to stay awake. He wondered how much longer he had to wait. He turned his head and looked around by firelight. His home was like almost every other house in the town of Coombe. Oak plank walls, a thatched roof, and an earth floor partly covered with reeds from the banks of the nearby river. It had no windows. In the middle of the single room was a square of stones surrounding the hearth. Over the fire stood an iron tripod from which cooking pots could be hung, and its legs made spidery shadows on the underside of the roof. All around the walls were wooden pegs on which were hung clothes, cooking utensils, and boat-building tools. Edgar was not sure how much of the night had passed, because he might have dozed off, perhaps more than once. Earlier, he had listened to the sounds of the town settling for the night, a couple of drunks singing an obscene ditty, the bitter accusations of a marital quarrel in a neighboring house, a door slamming and a dog barking and, somewhere nearby, a woman sobbing. But now there was nothing but the soft lullaby of waves on a sheltered beach. He stared in the direction of the door, looking for telltale lines of light around its edges, and saw only darkness. That meant either that the moon had set, so the night was well advanced, or that the sky was cloudy, which would tell him nothing. The rest of his family lay around the room, close to the walls where there was less smoke. Pa and Ma were back to back. Sometimes they would wake in the middle of the night and embrace, whispering and moving together, until they fell back, panting. But they were fast asleep now, Pa snoring. Ermin, the eldest brother at 20, lay near Edgar, and Eadbald, the middle one, was in the corner. Edgar could hear their steady, untroubled breathing. At last, the church bell struck. There was a monastery on the far side of the town. The monks had a way of measuring the hours of the night. They made big, graduated candles that told the time as they burned down. 1 hour before dawn they would ring the bell, then get up to chant their service of matins. Edgar lay still a little longer. The bell might have disturbed Ma, who woke easily. He gave her time to sink back into deep slumber. Then, at last, he got to his feet. Silently he picked up his cloak, his shoes, and his belt with its sheathed dagger attached. On bare feet he crossed the room, avoiding the furniture. A table, two stools, and a bench. The door opened silently. Edgar had greased the wooden hinges yesterday with a generous smear of sheep's tallow. If one of his family woke now and spoke to him, he would say he was going outside to piss, and hope they did not spot that he was carrying his shoes. Eadbald grunted. Edgar froze. Had Eadbald woken up, or just made a noise in his sleep? Edgar could not tell. But Eadbald was the passive one, always keen to avoid a fuss, like Pa. He would not make trouble. Edgar stepped out and closed the door behind him carefully. The moon had set, but the sky was clear and the beach was starlit. Between the house and the high tide mark was a boatyard. Pa was a boatbuilder, and his three sons worked with him. Pa was a good craftsman and a poor businessman, so Ma made all the money decisions, especially the difficult calculation of what price to ask for something as complicated as a boat or ship. If a customer tried to bargain down the price, Pa would be willing to give in, but Ma would make him stand firm.